It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 589. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, Facebook, facebook.com/miketechshow, and also Mike Nation Net. And don't forget about the wiki. That is at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all the past shows, the show notes, the audio. It's a great resource. Again, I have a jam-packed show, more Windows 10 anniversary update issues, a couple problems with my current system that I had to deal with and how I solved them this week with a couple of my key programs that I need to use every day crashing and burning, and how I think I fixed it. I have some in the trenches stories, some clients from this week, and also a client I'm going to be visiting tomorrow. I want to talk about that. Also, some emails with some users with some problems. So let's get started. I still have trouble running any Windows update for Windows 10. I'm trying to run the updates and they're all failing. That's why I know my system has to be redone. But until I have the time to go forth and do that, I have to keep running, and I'm still having a couple problems. Now, tonight's show, crossing my fingers, the audio's been good. I got it worked out. I got the recording. I got everything at a nice, happy place. Everybody's happy with the sound. All good. But one thing that I brought up last week, that someone asked, and I can't believe how obvious the answer is. How do we stop Windows 10 updates from happening if we temporarily need to make sure that our system's not going to reboot or we're not going to have a problem? The first link tonight is three ways to stop your Windows 10 update. And I'm putting that into the chat right now. Here's step one. Stop the Windows Update service. I can't believe that's the obvious answer. You can hit the Win R key, open the run command, go to services.msc, press enter, and from the services list, stop the Windows Update service, go into the under the startup type under the general tab and change it to disable. Unbelievable. That's perfect. And to re-enable the Windows update, just simply repeat the steps. Here's another option that I like that they've covered. Set up a metered connection. Windows 10 offers users on metered connections a compromise to save bandwidth. Microsoft confirms the operating system will only automatically download and install updates that are classified as priority. That's another one. And then, of course, the group policy editor. The instructions are here where you navigate to gpedit.msc and then go to computer configuration, administrative templates, Windows components, Windows update. And you can select from the automatic update settings to number two, which is notify and download and notify for install. Lots of really good solutions here. This is a disturbing article, which is that Microsoft warns the Windows 10 update has a serious problem. And this is an article from Forbes, and they say they've received a small number of reports of Windows 10 freezing. Let me tell you, Microsoft's definition of small is thousands. That's too many. Be careful on the Windows 10 update. Here's what I'm going to jump to, two emails that are important, and it's about the Windows anniversary update. And this is a great possibility, and I'm absolutely going to do this for my next, when I go to update a system and when I redo my system. This is from Paul. I received this yesterday. It's been a while since I've written or left a voicemail. In your last show, show number 588, you mentioned problems you experienced with installing the Windows 10 anniversary update. As another listener already mentioned, you can try downloading the installer separately and launching it manually. However, I have personally found that even that doesn't always work. The one surefire way I have found to get this update is to simply download the Windows 10 Media Creation Tool and use it to reinstall Windows 10. The tool now includes the Windows 10 anniversary update in the install, and so far it has worked every time for me. And I definitely can say the same for the Windows update or manual process for installing the anniversary update on top of your existing Windows 10 installation. Just be sure to either back up all of your personal data files, always, always, or choose the option to save those files during the install. Even if you choose that, please make sure you got a good backup of everything. The end result is a complete install of Windows 10, including the anniversary update. But of course, you should follow that up by running Windows Update again. It will either report that the OS is up to date or download and install any hot fixes that were released since the anniversary update came out. Also, the total time it takes to perform this reinstall is significantly cut in half if you can connect the PC directly to your router or modem via Ethernet. Otherwise, it will most certainly take several hours or even overnight. Hopefully, this will help anyone who has not yet received or attempted to install the update or anyone who has experienced problems in doing so. Paul, thank you very much. And to follow this up, this is from Robert. I have installed Windows 10 Anniversary Update on both of my systems with no problems. What you might do is download the Media Creation Tool and do a clean install with the 1607 update. That's what I'm going to be doing. I am not sure if you can still use a Windows 7 key to activate it or not, but it's worth a try. No, and if you've already installed Windows 10, you already have that digital reservation with the Microsoft servers. So remember, if you are prompted to enter a key, skip that step and go forth with the install, because once it's installed, it will activate. You don't need a key when you're installing Windows 10 again. It may ask for it, but don't worry about that. Just skip that step. So that's just something that I've personally done. I've already had two reinstalls of Windows 10 with clients. So I've already had two crashes where Windows 10 has crashed and burned, never to boot again, and I had to redo Windows 10 from scratch. Both times they asked for the key. Both times I skipped it, and after it completely installed, it automatically activated, because that activation goes with your system and it's on the Microsoft activation server. So keep that in mind. I have also heard that Microsoft has had some troubles with their update servers. Oh, I believe that. Last week, we had trouble with getting Microsoft Office 2016 to install, and all of our Windows 10 updates failed no matter what. That's something that can also be a problem with Microsoft being crushed or having problems with their update servers. Great emails. Thank you again, Paul and Robert. So now, what's happened with my system? You know, I live and breathe using Evernote. I use Evernote every day. It's how I keep a separate notebook for every one of my clients. I have so much information in there. If Evernote goes out of business, I don't know what I'm going to do. I also make sure that I back up that database, and I have copies of all that data in another silo, so I don't have to worry. But right now, Evernote's very convenient. I have the premium version. Well, Evernote decided to no longer work on my system. Every time I opened it, nothing would happen. And it would just be stuck in Task Manager, and I could never kill it. It took a reboot. It would never end. The task would never end. And if you double-click the Evernote again, that was it. Evernote would no longer boot. So I started Googling and researching in some of the forums. This seems to be a common problem. Now, I don't know if it's the latest version that I have, or a lot of the comments was from a version 5. This is version 6. You have to break out the Revo uninstaller utility. Now, I like it, the one from portableapps.com. So this way, it's just a portable app that you run. Revo uninstaller just rips it out and removes it. And it took a long time for that to happen. I mean, it was hours of Revo. I put it on the intense remove. I wanted all traces of Evernote removed because I knew I could just download and reinstall it. I reinstalled it after that was all done, synced it with my ID, and perfect, it's running great. Now, I don't believe this is a coincidence. Something's, I know, going wrong with my system because FileZilla would no longer work. Same symptoms. So FileZilla and Evernote. Now, what do I use FileZilla? That's how I upload my RSS file so you can receive the podcast. And so, actually, I learned this Monday night when I couldn't add a file to my website for the RSS feed. And I'm like, no, this ain't happening. So I had to go through GoDaddy File Manager and upload the file via my browser, via the File Manager, and I was able to take care of that. But I use FileZilla a lot. Again, Revo uninstaller, perfect. Just removed FileZilla and all remnants. Went to Ninite. Now, I don't like some of the junk malware and the junkware or whatever you want to call it that constantly gets bundled into this software. I know FileZilla is guilty of it. I still go to Ninite to do my install for something like that for FileZilla. And the install went perfectly. It's running great. I was able to feed it the default XML file that has all the settings. Remember, when you use a program like FileZilla and you're site manager and you have lots of sites like I do, all my different websites, I have clients that I have to FTP files to. Well, I have that all backed up. Make sure you export all of those settings and passwords for site manager and make sure you back that up. So this way you can import it again on a clean install of FileZilla. Now, if that file is not removed, it'll read the existing file. But if you really get rid of all traces of the program, you don't want to recreate all those connection settings. So make sure you back that up before the program crashes. I want to talk about a new client I did the walkthrough on Wednesday. This client purchased a brand new real server with Windows Server 2012. Somebody advised them that this is going to fix their problem with QuickBooks. I don't know if they really had to go out of their way to buy the server like that, but that's fine. They made the purchase before they met me. They have the server. They need someone to set it up and support this. So that's what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. But the first thing I needed to see was all the workstations. What operating systems are they running? We know we want to share the QuickBooks file, but we also, there's an inventory program and just regular data files. Every system in the company was Windows 7 Home Premium, Well, there was one Windows 10, but it was Windows 10 Home. When you have all home, you cannot participate in Active Directory. You cannot announce those workstations to the domain. This is one of the big differences between Home and Pro. And I guarantee you, this client never dreamed that they would ever need a real server. They would just go to the local store, buy the cheapest computer that they could buy with the cheapest operating system, and therefore they ended up with Windows 7 Home because the minimum wage person at Best Buy has no idea of what Active Directory is, probably, and counseling them the proper way for what they need to do to make the purchase for their business. That's why I'm in business. That's why a lot of you are in business. So we can add that value to our clients and counsel them and advise them on what to purchase. One of the reasons that on the last show, I brought up the comparison between Home and Pro and why any office, you'll want to just deploy Pro, even if you don't need it. Pay the extra couple dollars because a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, you may need features from Pro. Right now, they don't need Active Directory, so I'm going to bring that up tomorrow as just a workgroup server. Now, down the road, if we need those group policies and I need Active Directory for any reason, and I already discussed this with the owner, then I can always upgrade all those systems to the Pro version, then promote the domain to be a domain controller and get Active Directory configured. Then I got to do a profile migration on all of the systems and announce them to the domain. This is something that is a separate project, and I've already quoted that for down the road. If they ever have to do that, I can go back and make that happen. But you could still use a full-blown server in what they call workgroup mode. But again, you don't get all of the security benefits. I'm going to have to make a couple generic accounts that people are going to have to use to map to it. I'm going to also have to install the QuickBooks database manager, the manager program that manages the location of where the QuickBooks data files are. And this is the big app. This was a great referral from my accountant, and I'm going to be working with their team doing the QuickBooks migration while I'm setting up the server. And then I have my son there. We're going to tweak and clean all the workstations. The network is a mess. I've got a 16-port gig switch that I'm going to replace a bunch of 10-100 little switches. This is going to take care of lots of the network problems. On Wednesday, the owner was describing an intermittent network problem he was having. I looked at his system, and the first thing I seen was the network cable had the tab broken off and was loose. And that's what he was experiencing. I literally solved his problem just by giving him a new patch cable and just did that on my walkthrough. That made a great impression while I was there. I'm looking forward to being there all day tomorrow, and I'll report back any other issues. But I used my Fluke Link Sprinter on a few things to get a recon. It's great. If you got the right tools and you got the right process, these are the type of jobs that we live for that are perfect. And I'll turn this client into a retainer client to make sure I'm doing regular maintenance, checking on the backups. Oh, that was another thing. They ordered the server with no backup drives at all, not even thinking about backup. So I'm bringing an external drive, and I will set that up. I'll also put instant house call on the server, put unattended mode, so I can keep an eye on things and make it easy for me to support. I have three emails here that I want to get to. This first one is from Philip. It's about a cool program. Philip, the airline pilot here, in another hotel room in another country, story of my life. Got to the hotel, and they say the Wi-Fi has been very buggy for the last week. I tried in my room and walking up and down the hallway, Security took me to a room a few floors up and no luck. While in that room, my eye fell on the Ethernet ports at the desk. Aha! I came back to that room, dug in the bottom of my bag, and got out my emergency Ethernet cable with both tangs broken off, and voila. Problem is, my poor co-pilot only had his iPad iPhone in the next room over and no international cell service to keep in touch with the wife and kids. A quick web search led me to Connectify.me. Their app allows for easy sharing of a hardwired connection over the laptop Wi-Fi, only using the free version here, but it has worked really well to solve this problem for us. And I plan to keep it around for family visits to hotels when they charge by the connection or only allow two or three devices. Keep on keeping on, brother. Enjoy listening to your show as I drive back and forth to work through New York City traffic. Philip, New York, I will not drive in. I cannot drive in New York. I don't have the stamina, the patience. I just can't do it. My nerves, that's why cabs were invented. That's why Uber was invented. So, man, I feel for you driving through New York. Thank you. And I still remember that picture. I posted this up when Philip took a picture coming into the Punta Cana airport for me. Very cool. Thank you. And I will have that link in the show notes, and that's www.connectify.me. Great tip, great little utility if you need something like that. This is from Dean. Need a suggestion, direction, show topic. Looking for a little help with a client of mine and thinking you might get a show idea out of this. My client is semi-retiring and passing the business down to his sons. They do a design and produce type business. They have a number of designers on staff working in CorelDRAW that turn over those designs to a production department to make the items for sale. They have about 10 computers in the design and business office and about 10 computers running production equipment. They have central NAS device, a Seagate Black Armor 400 series, set up to store the CorelDRAW files. My client wants to work more from home and continue doing some design work. He is looking for access to the files on the NAS box from his home computer. Here is what I have tried. Go to my PC to log into his office computer with full access to the network. Too slow and not easy to transfer the large CorelDRAW files to his local machine. So this option is out. I'm wondering if you can optimize that workstation. What's the internet connection here? It's all about the up and the down. Is there a way to get Fios? You need a really good internet connection, and so does the owner who's sitting at home. He needs a good internet connection in order whatever solution we're going to come up with. Setting up access directly to the NAS box in a VPN setting. I thought this would work great, but he loses access to the network shares in the office once the username is set up on the NAS box. Strange, but I'm unable to find a workaround for this, so this option is out. Sneakernet. He has suggested that he can just download the files he needs and take them home to work on them. I don't like this option because it could lead to fragmentation of the files if someone in the office works on it while he had a copy at home. This also puts a lot on him to transfer the files back and forth. I have been thinking about this problem for a couple weeks now and cannot seem to find a solution that won't cost a lot. That's easy for him to use, will be able to handle the large graphic files and won't cause fragmentation. Any help you or your listeners can provide would be appreciated. Thanks for a great podcast. I have made many changes in my consulting business based on recommendations from you and your listeners. Keep up the great work, Dean. I have an idea, but again, it's going to require good network internet connectivity. I work with a program for syncing with a couple of my clients from Vault America. They have a syncing tool that I use with a server for my one client where their main files sync to a cloud-based account, sort of like a professional advanced Dropbox. There's a constant synchronization happening on any time the file changes. Using a service like that, now he can edit a file that we know is updated that's in the cloud, but he needs to copy that locally and work on it. I find it very difficult to work live on CAD files and design files across the internet. I don't care what your connection is. That's not going to be easy. That's going to be painful. He needs to still copy that file locally, work on it, and then get it up in that cloud so it can sync back down. That's one possibility. Either we have to find great remote control. You might want to try the trial of instant house call, and that may be better than some of the other remote access programs that you've tried. You have 15 days. Put it on, show him how to use it, have him give it a try. I would much rather him editing the file where he remotes into a system where the connection is okay enough for him to be able to work on a workstation that's local to the file. So now you avoid that having to transfer the file. So your first attempt that you mentioned here, I think, was the right way to go, but maybe we're using the wrong program. So give Instant House Call a try and see if that works. Also, let me know if the syncing is available, and I'll put you in touch with my contacts from Vault America, and they might be able to help you with a little trial solution first and see if that works. Dean, thank you for that email, and please keep me posted. If any of you listening to the show have suggestions for Dean, please email me, and I will pass it on to Dean and then discuss on a future show. This last email from Kevin, longtime listener here, but first time I have reached out to you. Today, I got a client with a laptop that had an interesting issue, which I couldn't resolve. I thought if you and your listeners might have some clues about what's going on with this laptop and some idea how to fix the issue. This is an older email. Kevin, I'm sorry it's taken so long to get to it. A client called me today because his laptop would register random keystrokes. While discussing the issue on the phone, I thought it would probably just the keyboard that had some kind of a sticky key that needed to be cleaned up, or otherwise the keyboard would need to be replaced. So we set up an appointment with the client. I disassembled the laptop to take out the keyboard. I did clean it up by blowing air between and under the keys, and I also wiped the whole thing with a cloth and some alcohol. There was some dirt, but nothing excessive. Plugged the ribbon cable back, turned on the laptop, the issue was still there. So at this point, I told the customer it's probably just a keyboard that doesn't work properly and that it will need to be replaced. Since he absolutely needed his laptop to work, we agreed on just disconnecting the keyboard for now so it no longer registers keystrokes. This way, he could still use his laptop with an external keyboard. Meanwhile, I could look up on the internet to order a new keyboard and call him back when I receive the part. However, after booting up the laptop with the keyboard completely disconnected, the laptop was still registering keystrokes. I thought that maybe these keystrokes were caused by some kind of an infection. I decided to do a quick test just to find out. I pulled the hard drive out and put another empty drive I had laying around and booted from a Windows 8.1 installation USB drive to basically do a clean Windows install. It was still registering keystrokes during the Windows installation. It didn't seem to be a Windows or malware related issue. At this point, I told the customer it's probably some issue with the motherboard and that it wouldn't be worth replacing it since it wasn't a very expensive laptop to begin with, which is kind of sad since the laptop was just over a year old. So this is why I'm sharing this story here. Maybe someone can have an idea on how to fix the issue. My customer already bought a new laptop by now, and he couldn't take much downtime. But I think he would still be happy if I called him a week or two later, telling him that there is something that can be done. I don't really like having customers leaving my shop with their issues unresolved. The laptop is an Asus D553M, just in case it can be relevant. I would like to thank you for the show. All these tips and stories are really helping me growing up my small computer business. I wish Amazon had better prices in Canada. I would use your link all the time to support the show. Keep up the good work. This is Kevin. Kevin, thank you so much. I have an idea. There is a utility that can suppress the trackpad. The problem, I don't know if this is your issue, but it's worth a try because the utility's free, and I'm going to find it. It might be called No Track or something like that. I'm going to find the program, put it in the show notes, and I'll email you. It will disable the trackpad. I would also like you to somehow get a hold of that laptop again, plug in a mouse, and disable the trackpad. That could be where the problem is, not the keyboard. Did you look at the BIOS setting to see maybe there's a BIOS upgrade? Maybe we've uncovered some type of bug. You're trying and putting another hard drive in and then booting up with a whole different operating system and still having the problem means that we know most likely it's hardware. I would absolutely open up a ticket with the manufacturer. They may know something particular with this model that this might be a common issue, and it may be worth the phone call, and especially being so close to only a year old or slightly over, you may get a sympathetic tech support person that may be able to look this up in their knowledge base and have the answer. So many times, the last thing I do is call the manufacturer, and sometimes that should be the first thing we try. I like how you thought it was a virus or some kind of an infection, because that's the first thing I want to make sure. When I have something driving me crazy on a system, we got to start eliminating the basics, and you got to make sure that that system's not infected with malware or any kind of parasite or any kind of an infection. You got to eliminate all that, then go in and try to solve the problem. If you purchase anything from Amazon, and Kevin, thank you for trying. If you purchase anything from Amazon or know anybody purchasing from Amazon, please use my link, amazon.micnation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to support the show. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your continued use of my link, and that's amazon.micnation.net. Don't forget Instant House Call. Give it a try, instanthousecall.com. Download the trial. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Also, Fab's Auto Backup for Tech, unbelievable program, 6 Pro, that I use all the time for transferring systems and files from one upgrade to another. That's the program I would actually use to back up all the settings when I'm doing the profile migration. Keep that in mind. Good program to try that. That's Fab's Auto Backup 6 Pro. That's it for tonight's show. I'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.